Welcome to a place suspended between history and mystery, where the shadows move on their own, and echoes of the past linger in the air. This, a journey through time, the Waverly Hills Sanatorium. Once a beacon of hope in the face of a deadly disease, the imposing structure now stands as an eerie monument to the thousands who lived and died within its walls. It has been whispered those who perished are not ready to go. Their stories forever imprinted on the fabric of this forsaken place. Tonight, we peel back the curtain of time to explore the haunted hallways of Waverly Hills. So dim the lights, hold your loved ones close, and prepare for a chilling journey that is not for the faint of heart. Welcome to Waverly Hills Sanatorium. What's going on, guys? Welcome to here with us as we break down Waverly Hills Sanatorium. Waverly Hills Sanatorium is a historic building located in Louisville, Kentucky. Nestled on a hilltop overlooking the scenic Ohio River Valley, Waverly Hills Sanatorium stands as a haunting reminder of a bygone era. Originally constructed in the early 20th century, situated on a sprawling estate spanning approximately 23 acres. Before it was known as Waverly Hills Sanatorium, the land was owned by Major Thomas H. Hayes, who had bought the land to build a school for his daughter. Once he had bought the land and built the school, he hired Lizzie Harris to teach his daughter. Harris, being a fan of Walter Scott's Waverly novels, named the school Waverly School. Harris loved the name so much he eventually named the grounds Waverly Hills. The estate bought the land in the early 20th century. On Hayes' former property, a small two-story hospital was built for the rising outbreak of tuberculosis. However, there would soon be a need for a larger capacity hospital for tuberculosis. The original hospital had 42 beds. Shortly after opening its doors, it found itself overpopulated. And for the first year of operation, many lived in canvas tents outside of the hospital. A surge of tuberculosis outbreaks in Jefferson County led to an expansion in 1926 that saw the bed numbers rise to over 400 patients. Waverly Hills soon became one of the premier sanatoriums in the United States. Although on the cutting edge of technology and at the height of modern medicine for the time, many of the procedures held at Waverly were extremely experimental and painful for those that undertook them. Some of those include thoroplasty and pneumothorax. Thoroplasty was a surgical procedure in which several ribs were removed from the chest walls. This was done to collapse the lung and allow it to heal. This was an extremely painful operation with a long recovery period. Pneumothorax involved collapsing an infected lung to give it rest. Air was introduced into the chest cavity to compress the lung and allow it to heal. Waverly Hills reached its peak in the 1930s and 40s, providing as much care and comfort as it could to its patients. The discovery of antibiotics changed the game, leading to a significant reduction in tuberculosis cases and the eventual closure of Waverly Hills as a sanatorium, transforming into Woodhaven Medical Service, a geriatric facility. Waverly Hills continued to serve the medical community, but allegations of neglect and mistreatment led to its closure in 1982. In 2001, Waverly Hills found new life under the ownership of Charlie and Tina Mattingly, and is now a place of historical exploration and intrigue. All right, guys, now we're going to get into my personal accounts at Waverly Hills Sanatorium. I had the opportunity back in 2022, October, to go and do a 12-hour investigation there. It is probably one of the creepiest buildings I've ever been inside of. If you ever get a chance to go, I highly recommend it. So, as soon as you walk in, there is a really strong presence of sadness that is palpable in the air. You walk in through kind of the old administration wing. They give you a quick brief on the do's and don'ts and some of the haunted areas, hot spots, if you will, where to go and check out. Me and my friend that I went with, we actually did have the tour guide take us through maybe the first hour and a half, 2 hours we were there. They took us first down into the body chute, which I'll get into later. Then they kind of walked us through the floors, took us to specific rooms where there was known activity. One of the things that stands out when I think back to the trip that I took to Waverly Hills is the fourth floor, really. They say it's one of the most haunted areas in the whole building, but it's weird because it's one of the most haunted areas, but there's not a specific ghost or thing that happens there. Besides, I take that back, the one thing that is specific to really the fourth floor are the shadow. There's a shadow man. And before going there, I thought it was bull crap. To me, you know, I haven't really seen a shadow person, or hadn't seen, I should say, until going there. But I just thought it was something that people were kind of making up or over-exaggerating. So I was on the fourth floor with my friend Christian, who had went there with me. I was doing an EVP session, actually using this right here. And it has a screen on it, and in the complete pitch black, you know, I'm looking at the settings, so my eyes had kind of lost the adjustment to the dark. And he had said he was going to go ahead, so we went ahead. I saw him kind of disappear into the darkness, go up to the head and the left. As I got done kind of saving the audio files, I was like, okay, I'm going to go catch back up with him. My eyes were kind of readjusting. We did the whole thing completely pitch black, no flashlights. There was a doorway that I swear I saw him go into on the left-hand side of the hallway. And there's a door right before it. Right before I got to the door, before the door I thought I saw him go in, I saw a black mass kind of in the silhouette of a man step into the doorway. And it kind of threw me off, so it kind of was like, oh, what the heck is this? And right as, I mean, this is like a split second kind of thing, right as it appears in the doorway, the silhouette shape comes straight out of the doorway at me. And I can kind of see that there's this darkness like directly in front of me. There's a very little light coming in, natural light coming in from the outside. And it was, like I said, like a split second thing. And I kind of saw the light from the other side start to shine through again, like it was dissipating. But like I said, it's one of those things that I personally didn't really believe until I went there. Another thing that I didn't really believe in, or hadn't, I wouldn't say I didn't believe, but I had not experienced myself, was doppelgangers or doppelgangers. Once again, it's something I was like, oh, that's kind of weird. I just couldn't fathom it yet. So like I said, I saw my friend go up to the left. I thought he went into this doorway. So by the time I get up there, you know, I said we were in the complete dark. We had flashlights just for safety to make sure we weren't going to fall in anything. I quickly shine my flashlight in the room real quick to see where he was at in there. Well, there was nobody there. And there's a big pool of water on the ground. So I'm like, I know he didn't come in here where this big pool of water was at. And I say, hey, Christian, where you at? He comes from the right side, from another room that was out on the atrium side of the building. And I was like, dude, I literally just saw you walk into this room. And he's like, hey, I didn't walk in there. I came up here, went to the right, and I went all the way down to, like, there's, like, a little area, like a sitting area out there. He said, I walked out there and checked that area out. I was like, dude, I saw you. And I did. I swear I saw him. I saw he was wearing a red and black shirt. He had a baseball cap on. And it literally, legitimately looked like him, which that's one of the many stories that you hear from people that visit Waverly, is that they see the friends that they're there with. There's kind of a folklore legend behind that as well. Apparently, if you ever see your doppelganger, you're supposed to die. Most people like that go there do not see their own doppelganger. It's usually the people that are with them that see somebody that looks like them. Once again, those two incidents are both two things that are hard to prove. That's why I say if you ever get a chance to go, definitely go check it out for yourself. However, there were some things that we did capture there. And I'm going to share them with you now.
This picture here in that room 502, where you can see a silhouette of a woman hanging from the ceiling in what appears to be a period correct dress. Another must do while at Waverly is you have to experience the death tunnel, or as some call it, the body chute. It's a 500-foot tunnel underneath the building that goes down the hill at a 30-degree angle. It was originally used to bring coal up from the rail yard to heat the hospital. And then it was eventually used by the staff to pull supplies and goods up from the bottom of the hill to the top of the hill. Somebody found a more macabre use for it. for taking bodies outside of the hospital discreetly. You're told if you take a tour there or talk to any of the staff members that it was to keep morale high. You know, I could only imagine seeing your friend die and then watching them take his body out. So the fact that they had found a way to take some of that out really shows you they were looking to take care of the individuals there. Myself and Christian were sitting in the morgue. We had been down there earlier that evening, and we got to take part in, I don't know if you're familiar with the Estes method of using a spirit box, but it's where you take a spirit box and you plug headphones into it so that only one person is kind of almost like a sensory deprivation. Like everybody else around is asking the questions, but only one person has the spirit box in their ears via the headphones. So I actually climbed inside of the rack that they held the bodies in, like the cooler, and I had the spirit box. And we had got some answers that kind of pointed to a ghost or a spirit named Hank. So we decided to go back to the morgue that evening, and I had a spirit box with me. I didn't have headphones, so we actually had the recorder out, and we had the spirit box. And if you listen here...
Can you guys tell us your name, some of the people that were here earlier?
So right there, I had asked if you could tell us your name, if we were communicating with who we had communicated with earlier. And right here, you hear, "You want our names." Play it one more time. So that was something that was kind of creepy, and luckily we were able to capture that EVP on a recorder. But that's one of those things when you're sitting there that kind of startles you. I mean, you can believe what you want about a spirit box. I'm a firm believer in their use. Maybe one day we'll actually do an episode over like equipment and we can go more in depth about the specs of them. But it's basically a device, if you don't know. It's a device that scans through FM and AM radio stations and allows spirits to have the ability to kind of use those frequencies as you're skipping through them to communicate with you. But to ask a question and get a direct response like that, like, "You want our name?" Number one, we had thought we were talking to somebody named Hank earlier, and now we have something that's saying, "You want our name." So that's definitely kind of a creepy moment when you're sitting in a dark morgue of an old tuberculosis hospital. So the next clip we have here, we captured in the surgical room, which is located, I can't remember if it's on the third or fourth floor. I'll show a picture of it right here. We had set the recording device down on the surgical table, which is one of the original surgical tables from Waverly. We place it there on it. It's supposed to be a room that has a lot of activity. Unfortunately for us, we really didn't experience it while we were there. But going back through the audio afterwards, I was able to capture this. So I had decided to play some Bing Crosby just to kind of see, you know, area appropriate music to see if it would kind of, you know, stir up any emotions or entice, not really negatively entice, but kind of get some of the spirits to play along or you know, manifest. So in this clip here, I'll stop it right before it happens and explain what's going on, but here's the clip. So if you listen right here, let me back it up a little bit, you start to hear footsteps. Now, me and Krishna are both sitting in chairs. I'll show you that image now, facing one another in the surgical room. And for all the listeners out there who are just listening and not viewing this on YouTube or any other video platform, I apologize, but all of this is available via the comments below. I'll have links to a Google Drive with all of this in there. But right here, I'm going to hit play again. Life is worth living. You almost hear them shuffling along. I'll play it again. It's almost like they were shuffling to the music. So for me, this is probably one of the, I wouldn't say scariest, but this is one of the most paranormal activity locations I've been in my entire life. The other being Ohio Mansfield Reformatory, which we'll do an episode on that here soon. But it, like I said before, when you walk in, it's almost palpable, the energy and the kind of paranormal feeling that's there. You can say what you want. I know most people think that all old buildings have that kind of feeling or old houses, but I don't know. For me, at least, when I walk in somewhere, I don't know. I just feel like I sense it. You kind of can feel that energy in those types of locations. So for me, Waverly Hills Sanatorium is definitely haunted. It lives up to its reputation. I always tell people it is the Mecca, the top of the list of places to visit if you dabble in the paranormal, believe in the paranormal. Like I said, the other two incidents, kind of hard to capture and prove. There are photos out there. You can definitely find those online of the shadow person. I unfortunately did not capture my incident, but hey, that's why I'm here with this, to document it, to explain it. It's out there. And that is our entire purpose of this show, to find out what is here with us. Thanks for watching. Here With Us podcast is the intellectual property of Here With Us Media, LLC. All rights reserved. Copyright 2023.